Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. I'm your host Matthew, and Crystal Palace have beaten Manchester City in this year's 2025 FA Cup final. Big congratulations to Crystal Palace. I thought they played incredibly well. And it's just for Crystal Palace's history and everything else, of course, going into this game likely as the underdogs, I thought was just a fantastic achievement for Crystal Palace particularly. Lots of interesting talking points from the game, but yeah, it's just really, really nice sometimes when the underdog comes out on top. And it's not, this isn't just a case for me of being a Man United fan, seeing Manchester City lose a cup final. There's that element to it as well, but it is also nice sometimes as well, especially with teams considered as underdogs, to see different teams win things. Like this year, we had Newcastle winning the Carabao Cup against Liverpool. Of course, Liverpool did win the title, but then you've got Crystal Palace winning the FA Cup here. So just from some different teams winning some things, it kind of reminds me of like in 2016 when like Leicester went and won the Premier League. You like those stories out every now and again, every sort of couple of years where the underdog team actually comes out on top and actually wins. Because most people would have gone into this game assuming Man City would be dominant, that they would, come away with the win here, big old Wembley and all, three back-to-back FA Cup finals for Man City, big bad Man City with all their money and Pep Guardiola and Haaland and, everything else. So yeah, massive congratulations to Crystal Palace. I thought they played incredibly well. Okay, they didn't have a lot of possession, didn't have the ball that much, but keeping Man City at bay for what turned out to be 100 minutes or 100 and a bit minutes in of itself is an achievement. I mean, it wasn't like Man City didn't try. They did. They just couldn't really get anything from Crystal Palace. Thought Palace's goal itself, which I want to break down in a minute, was incredibly well worked. So yeah, just a really, really nice success story here for Crystal Palace. And again, especially doing it against somebody as, as big and bad as Manchester City are. Just before I move on and talk about the game itself, big problem I kind of noticed. Now, when I'm watching any football game, whether it's my own team, Man United, or if it's a rivals game or a neutral game or whatever it is, I expect the job of the commentators to describe the game to us and to maybe read out stats, read out things like facts in the game, or like, hey, if Crystal Palace win this, it will be their first big major trophy, this, that, and the other. I don't expect a pair of commentators, or even the commentators from halftime, what I watched of halftime anyway, to once Crystal Palace have gone 1-0 up, to constantly be picking at the game and discussing how can Man City get back in, how can Man City get back in. You would think you were watching some sort of Man City fan channel game watching this match. There was barely any comments, if any, that I actually remember throughout the game saying like Palace done really well to hold on. They're 20 minutes away, let's say, from this big cup win. They just kept saying, oh, 20 minutes left for Man City to get back in the game. What about if the opposite happens? What about 20 minutes left for Palace to extend the lead or hold on to the lead or anything else? And they kept talking about, oh, who can Man City bring on to change the game? It felt very, very biased towards Man City. And even in at full time when they were talking about certain events from the game, it was still just talking about Man City this, Man City that, and this, that, and the other. Rather than, because they did a couple of different interviews with the players, and they obviously talked to Dean Henderson as well. Not many, apart from, I think, the one interviewer said to Eze, said congratulations, obviously he scored the winning goal. Very few actual congratulations given to Crystal Palace. It was such a sort of, oh, how come Man City didn't show up today? Why not just congratulate the winner in in this case. And look, if Man City had won the game and they'd won it fair and square, then Man City have won the game. But they just kept talking about, like, hey, Man City were so dominant and why couldn't they find their way back in? How about talking about Man City, yes, have been very dominant, they've had the ball a lot, but talking about how well Crystal Palace have done to keep them out, I think that's actually the more impressive thing, rather than, you know, questioning sort of, you know, what Man City are doing. So I found that to be a very disappointing aspect of the game itself. It just felt like bias. And to spin this round to my own team, this year in the Europa League, when they've had like Robbie Savage on, they've had Rio Ferdinand on a few of the commentaries, and I think Ali McCoys as well, kind of just riling up Man United to win each game, which has felt like a bit of a British bias at times in the Europa League, which I think I've mentioned on some of our Europa League games. And like when we were losing to Lyon, for example, like, oh, can Man United, you know, go on and sort of win this game? How about, you know, can Lyon hold on to their lead? Well, I don't understand what's going on. This is why I like Peter, it's called Peter O'Drury, my favourite current football commentator. Plus, I love the way he sort of describes things and all that. I've never really sort of seen him say, I've never really heard much bias in his voice. And he usually covers a lot of the big games, like Liverpool, Man City and Chelsea games, Arsenal games, Man United games, different derbies, different rivalries, like Tottenham, Arsenal. And he describes things. Like when Salah scores another goal for Liverpool, he calls him, like, you know, the Egyptian king. That's because he's done something really well. So it did feel a little bit like sort of, because the big bad Man City are here and they sort of have to win because it's what's expected, because, you know, it went against the narrative that Palace were doing well and that Palace actually won this game, I just felt there was very little sort of, Palace has done well, congratulations to them, they've actually won this game and it's a major trophy and what this means for the history, rather than just looking at what Man City have done over and over again. Anyway, just thought I'd kind of mention that because I found that to be quite disappointing. And even when they were, like, queuing up for the trophies, like, hey, what did Man City not do? It's like, why don't you talk about what Palace did well rather than talking about what Man City didn't do? Or talk about both things. So I just expect a bit more neutral commentary, regardless of who the team is, whether it's my team, a rival, someone I'm more neutral towards. But, yeah, again, like, even as someone who's not a Palace fan, they're the sort of, you know, the smaller local team, and it's great to see them win something, especially since, because I think back to, like, my high school days, and Palace were not quite West Brom yo-yo team, but they were a bit sort of get relegated, come back up, and they were a bit of the sort of, oh, Palace has come back up this year, oh, they'll probably go back down next year, so it's actually been quite refreshing. Because I've never had anything against, like, Crystal Palace. They're just a very innocent football team to me. There's no corruption there. There's no, you know, nothing like that. And the kind of the passionate local community is really, really good, and all that sort of thing. So to see them in my life, I suppose, let's say through the last 10 years or so. Seeing them go from this yo-yo kind of relegation promotion team to actually sitting in the league, Premier League, for a bit of time, find some consistency, sitting about, what, 12th in the league table, that's pretty good for a team like Crystal Palace. Not only to be sort of settled in the Premier League, but also to then go on and win a major trophy. And again, I said this when we won the FA Cup last year, like, there's this weird level of new disrespect for the FA Cup that I don't understand. It's a major trophy, it's a domestic trophy, and I don't understand the sort of, like, oh, it's just the FA Cup kind of narrative. If you want the treble or the quadruple, which nobody's ever done, you've got to win the FA Cup. So, anyway. But again, with just to actually talk about the game itself, again, with the cup final, you're looking at every touch, every pass, every turn, every cross, every little bit of the game, because all of it is just so intense. And even sitting there more as a neutral fan, Well, with respect to Palace, and then negative towards City, I suppose. Still found it very, very intense, which is kind of what you want for a cup final. Yeah, like every time City came forward and De Bruyne was on the ball and Silva was on the ball, you just felt like that the unlucky moment might sort of happen. But City just never. I was trying to think back to like our cup final with them last year. They were a bit like this. They had a lot of the ball. We kind of sat back a bit, kept ourselves compact. It was actually quite a similar game. It's just the scoreline was slightly different, but yeah, they did incredibly well to keep Man City out. It's not an easy thing, especially when you do have someone like Haaland. And it's interesting in a game like this, watching somebody like Haaland run around. There was a chance, I think, for him in the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes or so. He probably should have taken that, and then they just didn't really service him that much, which was actually quite surprising. So. Still got Crystal Palace's goal, which I really, really like. There's a lot of things I like about this goal. Yes, it was on the breakaway, it was on the counter attack, but that doesn't mean it was easy. One thing that a winger can do, or a wide player, that really annoys me: you run and you run and you run. You get to the edge of the box, you turn back, you move backwards, or you pass it back. You've got to be whipping the ball into the box and trying to pick out one of your players. And I was so glad with Munoz, I think his name is, the guy that crossed it in. I think he was there right back. Let me just look at the team sheets. Right wing back. Anyway, similar thing. And he was running down the wing. I was like, I sort of looked, glanced over, saw Mateta and Eze in there, and it's like, yep, yeah, that th th this is the situation that you want to be in against Man City, being sort of on the break against them, catching them out slightly, having that break in play. And then you see Palace's two deadliest players, Mateta and obviously Eze. You need to sort of cross the ball in and aim for both of them, if that makes sense. And this cross sort of did. I know it went slightly behind Mateta, and then yeah, FA Cup final goal for Eze, brilliant goal. He's such a fantastic player. It's a shame that they lost Elise as well, but. Yeah, it's a fantastic player, and really, really well taken goal. And I cheered as if it was my own team scoring. I really did. I just thought it was a great, goal in an FA Cup final is always a great moment, isn't it? So really, really enjoyed that. I was looking at Mateta and Eze today, and I know Palace can tend to be a bit more of a selling club. Now, you got a manager who clearly tactically has got something right, otherwise you would have lost this game. You got manager is pretty good. You've got yourself stabilized in the Premier League now for a while. I know they sold Elise. He went to Bayern Munich and won the league with them. I would like to see Crystal Palace kind of build from this, because the problem is now other clubs would be looking at Eze, and I wouldn't be surprised if teams. I don't know who would go for Eze. Someone would, but I don't know specifically who would. We probably should. But see, I'm looking at Mateta and Eze. I'm like, those are two players I want for Man United, but I kind of want them to stay at Crystal Palace, because I would just love to see Crystal Palace continue to do well. And we don't really quite deserve them, to be honest. So we do you know what would happen? We'd buy Eze and or Mateta, and we would just ruin them. We would just ruin them. That's just what we do. So I hope that because I think some clubs would be going to be, particularly with Eze, I think they're going to be poking around, say, 30 to 50 million. I think Eze is probably at least a £50 million player. I don't see why not. He's technically gifted, very quick. Obviously got a very good finish, good passing, just a really good all around winger and forward. And Mateta, I've seen him score. I mean, they've both scored a bunch of goals against Man United. With Mateta, very strong, very good hold up play. Just great, really, like all round striker. But I'm looking at them too, and a few others in this Palace team, and I'm thinking like, this is maybe your opportunity to sort of build on what you have here. So, We shall see.
Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
All right, let's move on from that, and I'm not going to quite do the full United casting here. I'm not going to do player ratings necessarily, but I'm just going through the events of the game. Mamusa for Man City missing a penalty. This kind of felt like, oh, 36 minutes in, this is Man City's chance. They're going to take this, they're going to score, then they're going to score another one. They're going to crush Crystal Palace's hopes and take the trophy away, and it will be, you know, let's lord Pep Guardiola once more kind of thing. It felt like it was maybe a turning point in the game, and it was, just not for the reasons that we all kind of expected. Now, I don't know why Haaland didn't take this penalty. I don't know what their order of penalty takers is. Like, when we get a penalty, Bruno usually takes it. It's not always your striker that takes a penalty. You usually have a dedicated penalty taker, but I don't know why he didn't take it. Maybe Haaland would have scored it if it was different, but Mamusa missed it. And I tell you what, in regards to Dean Henderson, who used to play for us, it didn't work out for him at Manchester United. He was not good enough at Man United, and at the time we had David De Gea, who was fantastic. Dean Henderson did get a shot at being our goalkeeper, and to say he wasn't very good would be a bit of an understatement. He was a bit of a disaster. I remember a particular game against Liverpool or something, and it was just really, really bad. This is probably the best game of his career, easily. There was a number of really big saves he made. There was like there was a Doku chance that was like whipping in the top corner, and he saved it. But penalties during the games are arguably much harder to save than penalty shootouts, because you save it, you parry it away. It's very rare that you, like, you know, catch a penalty. And you've got Haaland sniffing around the box, you've got other people sniffing around the box. You are allowed to get a tap in afterwards. And that's why you can't sort of save a penalty and then cheer for it, because the attacker could sort of pounce and then put it in the back end there. But brilliant, brilliant penalty save, and then really, really great to recover it afterwards, because that's almost the harder thing to do, I think. When you've saved it, the ball's bouncing around the box, everyone's trying to, like, who's going to get touched on it first kind of thing. It's a very intense moment, so big credit to Dean Henderson. I never thought I'd sit here and be saying that, but maybe you just found the club that works for you. With Crystal Palace, you're their number one, you've just won an FA Cup with them, you saved a penalty in a major final, you saved a number of shots. Yeah, it's probably the highlight of his career. So, congratulations. I've got no bitterness towards him. I just don't think he was good enough for us. So, then we had a goal that was disallowed for offside. Munoz, who gave the assist to Eze earlier. Now, this is one of them ones. The ball's bouncing around all over the place. Some people are in offside positions, all that sort of thing. I swear that the ball was kicked by a Palace player it hit off Haaland, I swear, and then bounced back to this player, and then he scored. I thought that was what happened, and they showed some obscure angles in the replay. I thought this should possibly have stood, but I couldn't quite see it clearly at points. But yeah, a bit of a shame that was disallowed. Again, good thing that, you know, Palace kept their head after that, because it's easy in the game, like, once something's gone wrong, like a disallowed goal or an offside goal or a bad foul or something, and a team can sort of lose their heads a little bit. But they kept their heads. They kept Man City out. It didn't sort of push them down having a disallowed goal. So again, big credit for that. So I know there's a lot of talking points again about in the first half with Dean Henderson's potential handball. Again, there's a lot of blurry lines there, I think. Now, the one thing they pointed out was, okay, is it a deniable goal story opportunity? We don't know if that ball would have hit Haaland's foot, but if neither of them had touched it, it would have gone out for a goal kick. I mean, okay, is it a goal scoring opportunity? It possibly was. I don't think this was really clear cut one way or the other. I don't know. He obviously touched it with his hand. It was very, very close in and around the penalty area and all that. But okay, if Haaland got a foot to it first, could he have kept his balance? Could he have kept the ball? We'll never know. Could he have landed badly and just fallen over anyway, or slipped and missed? There's a number of things that could have happened, but that one was a bit more 50-50 to me. But you know, sometimes things don't go your way in football, and you still had 90 minutes to grab a goal, and they just failed to do so. So there you go with that one. So that's pretty much the game. I do want to talk about Pep Guardiola as well. He genuinely makes me laugh a little bit, laugh quite a lot, because you're in charge of, at least in my lifetime, the most financially backed football club I've ever seen. So much so that you have landed with 115 financial charges. If you look individually at Man City's squad, yes, player for player, it's better than Crystal Palace's. But on the day, Palace defended better. They took their opportunity, almost took two opportunities. They played better. Yes, they didn't have as much possession, and that was kind of what we all expected, but they kept them out. They stuck to a good game plan, and they got themselves over the line, and City didn't. But when you've got the likes of, you know, Silva, especially Haaland, you've got Foden, you've got Gundogan, you've got Doku out there doing stuff. You've got, Kevin De Bruyne, supposed to be like one of the best midfielders of all time. You should, in quotes, be able to break down the underdog Palace team, right? But you didn't. The only player really they still had missing was Rodri. They had obviously Grealish on the bench. They had Foden on the bench who they brought on. Just couldn't get it going. They just couldn't get anything over the line. And sometimes that's just the way that it works out. But because I remember for the FA Cup semi-final, I can't remember who it was they actually played, and Man City were winning 1-0. I switched the game off for a while. I think I was playing Uncharted or something, and switched it back on near the end, and it had gone so far past the point where the game had actually finished. And they showed this camera shot of Pep walking around, and by looking at his face, you would think that Man City had lost that semi-final, when they had in fact won that semi-final. Part of me thinks for today, for this final, even if you'd won or lost, he still would have been looking like that anyway. There's very few times I've actually seen him be happy, and I get it, in a way of, you're the Man City boss, there's a lot expected of you, your name is Pep Guardiola, Barcelona, tiki-taka football, whatever, all this kind of stuff, right? Treble, four in a row, you know, all this sort of big stuff that's going on. But he gives this look. The reading that I get from his facial expression is as if he's been hard done by. And okay, there were some referee choices that didn't go the way that you thought they should. Sometimes that happens, right? But you've been given way more than enough resources to be able to beat this Palace team. That's not to disrespect Palace, but well, today they weren't, but Man City were supposed to be the better team, right? And they do have the better players, but on the day they couldn't make it happen. So for him to be walking around as if like he's been really hard done by or something, like he's not been backed in the transfer market or something like that, just really makes me laugh. Really, really makes me laugh. You're literally backed by like this Saudi owner with loads and loads of money. In fact, I think if Pep in the summer goes to his to the board and says, "Can I have these five players?" and let's say they're like wildly overpriced, they'd be able to afford all of them. So, yeah, it's just it just makes me laugh when I see Pep looking like that. So, but then he might have still given that facial expression if they won the game anyway. So, yeah, there we go. Anyway, that's my discussion, review, whatever, for Crystal Palace beating Manchester City in the FA Cup final. Again, massive, massive congratulations. The underdogs won this particular story. And yeah, even again, myself, you know, going from 95 minutes, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100, even I was sitting there sort of, you know, doing the, you know, panicked fan sort of thing. And I don't even support one of these two teams. Again, I don't like Manchester City. But it's just, I do have respect for Crystal Palace, and also just a very they're just a very innocent football team, and I've not only not got a problem with Palace winning this at all, but I really wanted them to. I really, really wanted them to. It's just really, really great that this one it went the right way. It went the way that it should have, I think. So yeah. Congratulations. And you'll be in yeah, I'm thinking about this during the game. Yeah, Crystal Palace will now be playing Europa League football next season, which again indicates that you need to kind of build on your squad. I thought a lot of their players really, really played incredibly well. But you could probably do with some more of them, I think. But all the ones that were out there on the pitch today, they all played their part. They all did incredibly well. Not just Eze and Mateta, but there was a lot of hard work done out there. Because again, I know what it's like to watch your team fend off Man City and score a goal in the case of 90 plus minutes. And it's not easy, is it? It's not easy. It's very, very difficult. Because even for a Man City team that looks out of ideas, you just always know that there's a possibility that they pop up with something because of the Man City. But not today. Not today. Wasn't to be for you. Wasn't to be for you indeed. Anyway, give me your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on this FA Cup final. If you are a Man City fan, what did you think of the final? Did you feel, I guess, weirdly hard done by or something? I mean, you were given a penalty. You could have scored that. That could have made it 1-1. It could have been a game-changing moment. Say what you want about the Henderson thing. I think it was a bit more 50-50. But then, even outside the penalty, did you think that you did enough? I don't think that you did anywhere near enough. So yeah, and if you're a Palace fan, you're probably over the moon, and you absolutely should be. And look, time moves very quickly in football. Drink it in, savor the moment. Obviously celebrate responsibly, but celebrate and just even if you think you're celebrating too much or you're celebrating too hard, just remember that you beat big bad Man City full of money in an FA Cup final. Because that in of itself is a fantastic achievement, and you should be proud of your team. You really, really should. I was proud of my team last year when we did it, and then the rest after that is a story to not be recapped. Let's call it that. But it's intense, isn't it? It's very, very intense to try to take this team down. So again, massive congratulations. Drink it in, milk the moment as much as you can, enjoy it. Because next season will be here soon, and unfortunately, people forget about cup wins after they've come and gone. So, again, if you're a Palace fan, let me know how you're feeling. You're probably feeling on top of the world right now, and you absolutely should be. And if you're a neutral fan, a bit more like me, what do you think of Palace beating Manchester City? I just think it's also just a really good football story as well. I can remember when, what was it, Wigan? I think they got relegated and beat Man City in a cup final. That was great to witness. That was great to watch. Anyway, let me know your thoughts, feelings, questions, comments. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalk UK, at Entertainment Talk, and his information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else we do on entertainmenttalk.org and podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, Man United podcasts. Of course, we've got a cup final coming up this Wednesday against Tottenham. I don't know who the underdog is supposed to be there. I really don't. I honestly think it's just coin flip territory. But we'll see what we can do against Tottenham, because I've done a preview for that game anyway, so I won't talk about that too much here. But yes, cup final on Wednesday. Very weird. But yeah, we got that. And then, gaming talk. Obviously, The Last of Us, bunch of Last of Us coverage. New episode tomorrow again as well. Excuse me, so look out for that. Film reviews coming soon, TV season reviews are happening and things like that. What was a podcast I did the other day? I did another one. I've forgotten what it is. There was the. What was it that I did? Yeah, the Europa League final preview, and then. I can't remember what it was that I did yesterday. There's another podcast I've apparently done and forgotten about. So just anyway, check it all out. Entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, Man United podcast. So look out for all of those. What sort of stuff? What about social media? Listening to more podcasts, that's how you can help and support us out. If someone mentions some of the podcasts on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers, every podcast review options, and for that as well. If you'd like to, TV and film news, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays, and Geek Down at Critic UK. So your TV and your film news, so look out for that. And then YouTube, we got some clips and other bits like that on YouTube. Entertainment Talk Plays. Oh yes, it was a trailer talk I did. I was just looking through my own podcast. Trailer talk for Ironheart and for Superman. The new trailers for those two are out, so I did that as well. Anyway, thanks for listening. Congratulations, Palace. And we'll see who wins this next year. I guess I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. I'll see you then. Goodbye.